Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar, that is, by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay their parts, the head, the fat, in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash his entrails and his legs with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood all around the altar. And it shall cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It's a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice of the offering to the Lord is of birds, then it shall bring his offering of turtle doves or a young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out at the side of the altar, and he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for ashes. Then he shall split it at its wings, but shall not divide it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, and three verses for us this morning. From chapter 5, verse 17 to verses 19. We'll read them as we go along. These three verses are filled with such meaning. Every word our Lord said, every deed that he did, every act of his sufferings has profound significance. And if only for a moment we would ponder and think. And that's what you've got here in verse 17. Do not think I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Do not think. And the trouble is, we don't think enough, do we, about the things which the Lord Jesus Christ then said. If you pondered it for a moment and received those words for a moment, do you know, perhaps you would come and receive of who Jesus Christ is, what he's come to do. You'd come to know the blessings just to think for a moment. May the Holy Spirit, even this morning, cause you to think. Think about these words. When you think about them, you begin to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about himself. He's got something to proclaim. And when Jesus came into this world, he didn't just simply come to proclaim of what we do. He came and he proclaimed himself. He preached about himself. Now, I know there's not anything more obnoxious and tiring for any preacher to preach about themselves, but the Jesus did it all the time. And when he did it, people were fascinated. People were gripped. People wanted to hear more. Jesus pointed to himself. And when you come to these verses, that's what Jesus is telling us now. I want you to think. Don't think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets, but I've come to fulfill. And when these people were gathered round, as you know, the Sermon on the Mount, his disciples were with him very close. We know there was a crowd which was gathering also around on the periphery. They could hear him speak, and the Lord addressed them. These people were hanging on every word that Jesus spoke. The words that he spoke convicted their minds and their conscience. The words that he spoke lifted, you know, hearts which were cast down. But the things that he said sometimes were in such a manner, so almost contradictory to what they had heard before, that somehow they began to think in the things that he did, the way that he acted, yet with sinners, that they had a question mark upon him. And perhaps they even thought for a moment that he had come to abolish the law and the prophets. And Jesus wants to say to them quite clearly, that verse in the Old Testament, "Behold, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me." And what you find is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came in his life and in his deeds and his sufferings, in his wonderful resurrection, ascension, he's come, and he's come to fulfill everything that is in this book. And the Lord Jesus is speaking about himself, but he's also revealing to us. And you need to look at that verse in verse 18, because I don't want you to think, because as surely I say to you, truly, truly, amen, it's going to be so. I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And in that very statement, the Lord Jesus Christ then, he makes a number of statements which are, well, gripping and fascinating. And he makes the statement about this world. What's going to happen to it? This world will pass away. But he's making a statement of the endurability of God's word. It will never pass away. And when you read that statement, not one jot, one tittle, he's making another statement of the sheer perfection of that law and of the word of God. And you've got to know that every part of it, every little jot, every little stroke, everything of it. Thirdly then, that this which God has said will be fulfilled. Don't think for a moment that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. You couldn't be further from the truth. This is going to remain, every part of it, and I'm going to come and fulfill it. And first of all, this morning, very simply, but think now, just ponder for a moment these words of the Lord. When he says, "As surely I say to you," in verse 19, "till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, one tittle." Now, we're living in a world where we're told the news every day that this world is passing away. The Lord Jesus told us that 2,000 years ago. The expert, the scientists, tell us on the news that we're in an existential crisis. Until we actually grab hold of it, we're going to be lost as a planet, and life will no longer be able to continue. But the Lord Jesus told us quite plainly that this earth and the heavens themselves will not continue. There'll come a time when they will pass away. I know that may seem, you know, strange, but it is the news that the scientist which is teaching us. The only difference is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not preaching to us now that we need to keep the show on the road, that somehow, you know, we've got to just keep it all going. We've got responsibilities. He's given it to us. We're not to exploit this world. But we also know that the minerals and the materials, they're not infinite in any way. That one day, it's all going to come to an end. I was only reading this week where it just said that the scientist now has found that the world has moved 3 inches on its axis, and it shouldn't have slipped 3 inches. And then you think to yourself, well, who said that it shouldn't have slipped? Actually, the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us that actually, you know, everything in this world in which we have, I'll just read you these very words themselves, which are found in the scriptures, as quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. It says that the Lord in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens and the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They shall grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's telling us the truth, is he not? Truth about this world. You can always know the Lord Jesus has something to say. This world in which we live, he says it is passing away, and the grass will wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will abide and stand forever. But you can be sure, just for a moment, just to take note, everything is passing away. Don't you know that? The mistake that we make. Everything that there is that you can see in this world, you know it. Open your eyes from the greatest powers and the greatest dynasties which have ever been in this world. Power you could not even begin to imagine, were unable to go against the tide of time. And time then passes by, and these kingdoms and this world, it lies in the dust. And not only that, you know yourself, the cultures, they've gone. Peoples have gone. The tongues and languages we want to keep to remain, they pass away. The traditions that you've had, the way of life which we once knew, the things in which we based our lives, it's all, is it not, passing away. And you think of this little town of Narberth and how it changes. And the banks have gone and some shops have gone and the high street's gone. And you see it all. You thought when you were growing up, these things would always remain. But everything passes in time. And you know that, do you not, in your own life? You're passing. And you're passing quickly. And you don't remain the same. And your youth is gone. Lots of things have gone. Your hair's gone. Your strength's gone. Your best days may be gone. And you see it in yourself. And you know yourself in your mind and your thinking. Those things you once enjoyed, the places you once went to, the things you once were involved with. And you think to yourself, I was never a thought that I would not have been part of that group and that society. But all this has just gone from me. And you see it change. If there's anyone here today, don't you understand those words? Is Jesus Christ not right in what he says? And look, if there's anyone here today, you may be going through some burdens, some trials that I can't even begin to imagine. Don't you know this? That too will pass. Everything passes. The burden, the cares, the concern, the hardship, the grief. At one moment, at one time, it all passes away. Because this world itself, the mistake we make, living for this transient world, living for that which will one day in a few years will be gone, and we've given our energy and our strength to it all. And here's what the Lord says. He says, but I want you to know this, and it is quite amazing, isn't it, that the word of the Lord, this word, he says, not one jot, one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. And I suppose one of the great claims for this word of God this morning is the fact that we still have this word out of the thousands of years which has been given to us, given to Moses, given to the prophets, given then to the apostles. All those thousands of years. The incredible thing is this, is that this word itself remains. And it's not changed. It's truth unchanged, and it's unchanging. And I know that people speak about being relevant. And mad as it is, the last thing that people want to do, even in places of worship, is take this word when your life is changing, everything's falling, everything's being removed. Yet this word is as relevant today, and it's being preached today and opened today and ministered today throughout this word. And you know something? The very words of this word which is given to us, of the word of God, is strengthening people's hearts and is speaking into their souls. And this word which you've come to know is that word which people can build their lives upon, and it speaks of him. It will never pass away. Everything else will fall, but your word is established forever, says God, even in the heavens. I've just got one little quote for us. I wrote it out because it's the full quote. It's of that philosopher, Voltaire. And he wrote in 1764, "The Bible, that is what fools have written, what imbeciles command, what rogues teach their young children, are meant to learn by heart." 1764, we're living in the twilight of Christianity. He claimed it. 100 years, he said, after my days, there will not be a Bible in the earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. And you know what takes place. In August 1836, a member of the British and Foreign Bible Society purchases his home and uses it as a Bible depot. Yes, indeed. And what you've got here, this word, you see, which people have fought against, people have persecuted, people have tried to hinder in every means. It's happened even in communities like this where the gospel has gone forth. There has been such objection, such oppression, such hindering and closing of the doors. But you find that that which is of truth, it remains and it stands. I'm just pointing to you that this word is endurable. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said these two things. The world is passing and the word is remaining. Was he right? Yes, he was. Yes, here we are, 2,000 years. Something else now here is that this word is also then perfect. And it needs to be perfect. What happens is he tells us, and when he says these words, one jot and one tittle, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is referring now to the jot, to the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And when he's speaking of a tittle, he's speaking of a little stroke, just one little stroke, like a hyphen almost, of the Hebrew alphabet. He's telling us that not even that one little stroke will be missing from the things of God's law and God's word, even that will not fall. And what you need to know is that every little letter and every little stroke is of the immense importance, because of one little letter missing or one little stroke missing can make something mean totally different. But there's a perfection which is in it. I was only giving the men in the morning meeting yesterday. I know you've heard the illustration, but I knew when the policemen or the policewomen knocked on the door, I'd have an illustration for life in the pulpit. And it was many years ago that it was a Saturday night. I won't go into too many details. I was in the bath and there was a knock on the door, and my wife opened, and there were two female police officers, I think, coming to arrest me. And I had to come immediately down from the bath and put the towel on, and just stood at the door. And they said there'd been some incident in the house which they'd come to report, and there'd been this terrible. And I said to them, "Are you sure? Are you sure it's me?" And they said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, where are you from?" They were from Tenby Police Station. I said, "Give me that address." Just one little stroke extra. One little stroke. I said, "That's not this house. That's that house. It's over there." And so you see how important it is when one little stroke, one little iota. And so now you need to know that Jesus Christ, he's speaking of this word. And you know this word. It's not a word which just contains truth. It's not a word which just becomes truth to you when you read it. It is the word of truth which the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and affirms. And I know what people say. People say the problem with you Christians is this, is that you believe this word hook, line, and sinker. And someone like myself has got a bigger mind, and I've got a bigger brain, and I've got more thoughts, and I'm not going to be as gullible as you in what I think of this word. Well, all I can say to you, there is no Christian in the world which takes this word hook, line, and sinker. They don't take any step into the dark. They simply know this. They've come to know Jesus Christ. And when you've come to know Jesus Christ, you know what you find? You find he's never wrong. He's never been wrong. He's never proved to be wrong. You've just had the statement. Was he right or was he wrong? Is this world finishing? Is the word enduring? Is anything that Jesus said? You've had a question mark that somehow, of all the things that people speak against the Christian gospel, I've still not heard this one, that Jesus Christ was wrong here. Was wrong here. On this point, or on that point, when you become a Christian, you say, "Well, no, I've come to the light, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and he's the one who's shown me, and he's the one who's taught me." Do you remember the days when we had the scissors Bible? Or perhaps you've been to Washington and you've had the tours and the Thomas Jefferson Bible. It's an interesting Bible. And you know, when he comes and he's taken those pages, and you've got that, perhaps you've been brought up with that idea. "Well, I do believe there's the word of God, but there's certain bits in it I don't believe, and I'm unsure of it." And what happens is this. You end up, don't you, with a little, small, truncated Bible. Now listen to what Jesus Christ says. He says, "Don't think for one moment I've come to cut little bits out of the Bible. Don't think for one moment I've come to avoid any part of it. I've come in the fullness of the book. I've come in the way that God has written. And every jot and every tittle of it will be accomplished." Just to hold that thought for you for a moment. Do you know that this, every bit of it, the doom of sinners, the blessedness of saints, God's wrath which is coming, judgments poured out, Son of Man with his angels, all spoken, every single jot of it, you turn to any passage where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, you've got questions of Adam and of Abel and of Noah and of Abraham and of Isaac. Jesus spoke of them all, did he not? Spoke of these days and what God did and how he created. And those chapters in the Bible which you say, are so gruesome and so terrible. And Jesus confirms them and says, I tell you the truth, unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. And the Lord Jesus, you need to know this day, everything this book says, everything about it, it'll be fulfilled, every jot of it. And one day we'll all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One day the books, as it said, will be open. One day there will be the great separation. And as Jesus said, in that day his kingdom will come. It will prosper. It will go on. And his kingdom will be established. It will take place. Every little bit of it. But there's something else I want you to, just to emphasize on this point. It's a word which will be fulfilled. Now in verse 17, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In verse 18, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now the Lord Jesus is speaking of what he came to do and what he will do, and he has come now and he is telling us now about this word. I want to assure you today, the word which we're speaking to you is a word which is full. It's not a word which is empty. You think of the words of men. They are empty words. Words with no power. Words with no substance. Words which have little meaning at all. Now, this is not a party political broadcast, but just to, you know, the point. We're going to build, 14, 15 new hospitals. We're going to bring down inflation. We're going to halve the waiting list. And as powerful, even as governments can be, the circumstances which are around, they're unable to do it. They're unable to fulfill the policies they've written, the statutes they made, the things they've passed, even in Parliament itself. They're words which will not be fulfilled. But when you come to this word, there's something else about it. It's a word which is fulfilled. And if you could indulge me for a moment. When I read to you that portion of Leviticus chapter 1, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one, is he not, who's come to fulfill all that was written in the law and the prophets. Every aspect of it. The reason this morning we're not sacrificing bulls and goats and turtle doves and pigeons is because Jesus Christ has come and made atonement. The reason we're here today and we're not stoning people for not keeping the Sabbath is because the Lord Jesus Christ has come and fulfilled that and has died a death and has been our sin offering. The reason this day that we are not in the tabernacle and we have the Ark of the Covenant and we have the veil and we have the lampstand and the altar of incense. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ himself is the one in whom God both dwelt. He was Emmanuel, God with us, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And all that spoke of and spoke of in the Old Testament speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ and tells us of the one which was to come to be able to take away our sins. And when you come and Jesus says, don't think for a moment I've come to destroy. I've come to do something even far greater than all that. I came in this world, and you know those commandments in which you've got, you couldn't live them for one day and for one moment. Think of it yourself Has it dawned upon you the words that you've spoken, the hatred in your heart? That very chapter of Leviticus chapter 1, you clean the entrails. You make sure that it's pure when you bring it to the altar. And the Lord Jesus Christ, your bad thoughts, your sick imagination, your being which once takes you down avenues you just don't want to go, the Lord Jesus came in his very thoughts. Wonderful. Not a dark thought, not a bad thought, not a hateful thought, not a perverse thought, just everything in his whole being and the inner part of those entrails of his heart and soul and liver, as the Bible speaks, everything was pure. And in that very deed, do you know what Jesus did every day of his life, from a child when he was born to the day he was crucified? He kept that law. He fulfilled it in that way. Wonderful. It's wonderful things. And what happens is this, is that Jesus Christ, if you need to know, he is the Savior. And what we're telling you this day, do you know, we're going to sing about it. I finished. All the debt is paid. It's finished. All the debt is paid. No, I'll start here. It's finished. The Messiah dies. Cut off for sins not his own. Accomplished is the sacrifice. The great redeeming work is done. It's finished. All the debt is paid. Justice divine is satisfied. The grand full atonement made. God for guilty world has died. And so this morning, I would say to you this, do you know, is that not something to thank Jesus Christ for? Yeah, I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets. But just indulge me once more. He's come to fulfill this law, not only in what he came and what he did in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. Do you know, he came, did he not, to fulfill this law in the fullness of our understanding of it. When you think of what he comes to do now, even in the Sermon on the Mount, he comes to show us the length and the breadth and the height of this law of God. He does it here in this chapter. He says, you know, you've been taught of old that you shall not murder. He says, well, I'll say to you, does he not? Look, anyone who hates his brother, he's accountable. And he begins to tell us about how we're to live this law and how the law is to shine, how the law tells us of the love of God and the things of God. He comes and he takes that law and he shines his light upon it and he reveals it like never before. And so it is that when it says, you shall not murder, that means for us, not that I don't take the axe in my hand, take the knife to stab. It means this, that I lay down my axe, I lay down my knife, and all my thoughts of doing such evil, and then I do this, don't I? I don't just wish them no harm, I wish my enemy and my neighbor good. And I'll tell you what it means to fulfill this law. It means not that you'd kill them, but you pray for them. And not that you resent them, but you give to them. And near the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he speaks about you shall be faithful and not commit adultery, do you know he tells us, your heart, let your heart be pure. Because without purity, no one can come and see God. He comes to fulfill that law of God and shows us of the extent of what God has come to mean for it in our lives. Do you know what else he does? He fulfills this law supernaturally, supernaturally, in the lives of his people. What he did on that cross of Calvary, he's fulfilled it all. He's come to show us of all that the law has come to speak and to point to. But he does something else too, by the power of his Holy Spirit. He comes into a person's life and into a person's heart. And this is what he does. He fulfills that law we're lawbreakers, but surely you do know this, that when you became a Christian, did you not turn from being a God-hater to a God-lover? And when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you find within you are now pure, a power you say, Lord, forgive me, I'm wrong, I fail, but I want to love you and praise you and worship you and serve you. I want to give my heart to you, my mind to you, my life to you, in every part, that will be fulfilled in one's life. Yes, he's doing that. It's a supernatural work which he has within us. Are you listening to him? He's telling us something about himself, obviously. I know, I don't want to go into it. It's on that next verse. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And when a person becomes a Christian, look, all I know is this. You can argue as much as you like, but God changes lawbreakers into lawkeepers. He changes them from bad citizens into good citizens. It's not that we ourselves are perfect. He is perfect, and we have a wonderful Saviour. This morning, I want you just to ponder for a moment what Jesus Christ is saying. He is saying that he came to do what you could never do. And he came to fulfill it. Could you listen to what he's saying? If there's anyone here today who has not repented, not believed, put their trust in Jesus Christ, please hear this. Not one jot, one tittle of that law will fail. The punishment, the wrath, the judgment, the coming again, the judgment seat, all of it, I assure you, it will all be. This word is a full word. Do you listen to what he's saying? He's saying that for you who have come to him now, and if you are here at this place and you think you've got a Christian life and you can live as you like, do as you like, live in such a way, you've got something wrong. He's come to fulfill God's purposes in your life, in your life. And you know, only he can do it. Only he can do it. He's got the power to do it. You want that? Come to him, believe in him, trust in him. Let's